Well, I thank everybody for being here and part of this study as we are going through understanding voltage and all of those different things. Okay, let me go back and give a good clarity on the meaning of, in the day ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. All right, any comments on that, of what y'all are thinking that means or what we've discussed already? I mean, however you see it.
Well, when you look at it from, I guess, the standpoint that we would normally think is, you would think if someone tells you if you eat this fruit or you do this certain thing, you're going to die. The day you eat it, you're going to die. You would assume that you're going to die that day. But they didn't. They just, their lives were, their days were numbered now, as opposed to being unlimited days with great health forever. So I guess in a way that might be, I guess maybe it's not nearly as bad because you do still get to survive and all that kind of stuff, but life's harder now.
At least from the discussion I think we've had in the past, I guess the way to think of it is from that day onward, and even nowadays in our own bodies, the moment you are born, your body starts to die. I guess you think of it in that way. So each day it's kind of getting closer and closer to an end.
Okay, are you okay?
I agree with both. I guess we always have to look at it in the same way. You know, not that you'll die immediately, but, you know, your opportunities will be limited, this different kind of stuff, or you're just not going to get what you want. You know, if you do this, then the things that you're wanting, you may not get in the same way.
Okay, interesting. All right, we're going to look clearly at that verse and get a different understanding. Okay, when we were first created on planet Earth, we were created in His image. Okay, now the question, or a few questions, should be, what is His image? His image isn't the same as us in our fallen state. So then what was that image? Well, let's think about it for a minute, that the Bible talks about in the beginning, there was what? Darkness, right? Darkness covered the face of the deep. And the spirit of Elohim moved upon the face of the deep. Right, I'm pulling up also scriptures so we can know where they are. Or if we go back and listen to it, or anyone listens to it, they'll be able to know where the scriptures are. And that's Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, Yahweh created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. And the spirit of Elohim moved upon the face of the waters. So that means that there was what? Darkness, or what we call the ether, which is dark matter. Okay, so we thought that in between everything there was nothing but this dark matter. Okay, and from this dark matter, He said, let there be light. And there was light. Now, when we talk about this light, from this light, everything else came into existence. Because we read before that in Him consist all things. Okay? And because all things consist in Him, that means that we already talked before about everything vibrates. everything. A rock vibrates, it just vibrates much slower. And the molecules in there are living. They're vibrating. If it's movement, then it's living. It's movement. That's the whole key of living, being able to move. Okay? And so it vibrates at a very low level. And it has energy. Okay? So, like if you have water, H2O, we have three conditions that we have water in. Each one is the same element, but it's just in different stages. The first stage would be at its lowest capacity that it vibrates, which is called ice. So with ice, is hard, okay? That means it's vibrating very slow, so the molecules do not, what will we say, move so slow that you can put your hand on it and you can touch it, okay? And it doesn't move. No matter what you do, it doesn't move. You have to break it to make it move. And then we can change it, and all we do is increase the vibration of the molecules that are in H2O, and now we will have what we call water. And so you use water to, you know, you use the coal to keep things cold like a refrigerator. You use your water to wash clothes. You use water to drink. You can now use that thing in many more ways, okay? And you wash yourself in it and so forth. So it cleans you, bathes you, all of these wonderful things, and it cleans and bathes the interior of your body. Then we take that same water, and now we vibrate it even higher. And so the way we'll put vibration in or energy into it, then what we'll do is take ice and we'll put it in a warm area or heat it up in a pot, and we'll apply energy or we'll apply heat to it, and it melts and turns into water. Then we will take that water and we will apply more energy to it, and we will bring it to a boil, and then it will start boiling out and turns into a gas, a vapor. Water vapor is called. But it's still the same molecules, and now it's moving at a faster rate. And so much the rate is so fast that you can't even see it or touch it. You might be able to feel it because you might be able to feel the heat from it, but that's it. Okay? So everything is vibrating at a different level. Everything has Yahweh Yeshua in it. That's what it says. Okay? All things consist in him. That's the scriptures. So now, in the beginning, then in verse number 3, it says, and Elohim said, let there be light, and there was light. And Elohim saw that the light was good. And Elohim divided the light from the darkness and called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and morning were the first day. So what we have here is light. Okay? Now, what light is it? It's not the sun, because the sun's not created to the fourth day. So that's not what we're talking about. So what are we talking about? Well, we're talking specifically about the light that came out of darkness. Well, the Bible talks about, Yeshua says, I am the light of the world. Okay, in what aspect are you the light of the world? Okay, we return to the book of John, chapter 1. It tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Elohim, and the Word was Elohim, and the same was in the beginning. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. Aha! In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now we have light, the same light that was created at the beginning of time, or brought forth. I don't want to say created, but brought forth, because the word was brought forth out of the thought of Elohim. So you have the thought first, the Father, then you have the word spoken, which brings it into existence. What is in the thought, or what is the thoughts of Elohim? So when it goes forth to speak, this light is the light that lights everybody, every human being. So what does that mean? Okay, when we look at the, what do we call it? Okay, yes, when we look at light, it removes darkness. Darkness disappears. And from the sunlight, we have lots of life. We have life. We live. If we didn't have sunlight, if we didn't have light, we wouldn't be able to live. Okay? We wouldn't be able to create free vitamin D. We wouldn't be able to remove cholesterol off the skin, a whole lot of problems we would have. If we didn't have light from the sun, the energy from the sun, then you would not be able to also have food to eat, because that's where you make chlorophyll from the trees, the leaves, taking the energy from the sun and converting it into energy, such that you can be able to now develop and eat fruit. Okay? This same life that everyone is given is a light, L-I-G-H-T, which is in reality, you can see it as a light, but it's energy. Light is energy. Okay? This light that we see today from the sun has all the minerals in it that we need to survive, 100 minerals. Most people didn't know that. In the sun is all the minerals and vitamins, everything that we need to live. Okay? Inside of this light, and so that's why it says it is light and it is life. So it is the life that's in everything. It is the life. So everything has a force. Some will call it a force. Some will call it a spirit. Some will call it energy. All of those things are the same. Energy, force, spirit. Okay, so this all comes from Yahweh. So this energy that we're given at the beginning, this light that we're given that gives us life, because that's what it is. It says the life was the light of men. So this life is the light. So this light is energy. So everyone is born with a certain amount of energy or voltage. Okay, we'll use voltage. We'll use all of these interchangeably, so I don't think that they're meaning different things. Force, same thing. Okay, this energy force that's in us that keeps us alive, or this light, as the Bible describes it, that keeps us alive and everything else alive. When we look at this light, like I said, keeps everything alive, keeps humans alive, and so forth. But this light or this energy is what you're born with in a certain amount. So some people are born with more amounts than others, depending on their DNA from their parents. So if you have parents that have high energy levels and high, you know, keep their bodies good in health and so forth, or they pass it down to you, you should have good genes also. If you have a parent that is a crack, it's on crack, so you'll come out as a crack baby. If the mom is on crack, then you'll be a crack baby. So you inherit only what she gives you, okay, and what the two cells develop together. It's not independent of that, okay? Then you have this energy that you're born with. Once this energy disappears, then you cease to exist, okay? You no longer are living, because the energy it takes to keep you alive is the source, or this light, as Yeshua says, the Bible says. This light or this force or this energy or this voltage. So we have a specific voltage that can be monitored. Everybody has an aura, has a voltage. All of that stuff is, that energy is there. Period. So when we go back in time, we would like to look at Adam and Eve, when they were created, or any, every religion, as I understand it, has a creation story. The creation story of Egypt, the Kemetic people, and the ones of the Bible are almost exactly duplicates of each other. Same thing. Okay. So all of these different religions have these things. It talks about a fall or moving from a spiritual frame into a physical frame, from us moving from the thought of Yahweh. That's where it began, and he speaks it into existence, into spirit, and then moving from spirit to material, to this fallen state or this state that we find ourselves in today. So just wanted to use one example that explains it from no matter which religion or group that you're from. So when they had a light around them, so they didn't need clothing because they were clothed by the sun. What do we mean if they're clothed by the sun? The same thing that, can we look at the sun? No, we can't look at the sun, can we?
No, we cannot. Sorry, I'm on mute. You're listening.
Yeah, you're not supposed to look at the sun. Mm-hmm. Okay? And because you can't look at the sun, it's supposed to be able to blind you because it is so much energy and so much light in front of it. That's the problem of it. So when we talk about them clothed in energy or light, they didn't need clothes because the light clothed them. So they're running around, you know, as energy of light. That's light, you know, running all over the place. Okay? And they were clothed with light. So that's why they didn't need clothes. Now, they had so much energy or so much voltage. They had so much of this force that they were like similar to the sun in that respect. Now, do we have anything that talks about that? Yes, we have incidents when the Bible talks about Moses when he went up to the mountain. And he was up there for 40 days and 40 nights. That when he came down, his face shone with the glory of Yahweh. And people didn't know what to do. Okay? Because he was in the presence of Yahweh and his face shined as the light. Okay? We also have that same incident occurring with Yeshua in what we call the transfiguration. That's what it's called. Okay. Now, does everyone remember the transfiguration?
No.
What is it?
Transfiguration.
No? Okay.
The Old
Testament, transfiguration.
The Old Testament, the New Testament. I didn't talk about the beginning. When it...
Say that again?
No, I was asking you if it was the Old Testament or the New Testament, because you were talking about in the beginning.
The transfiguration is in the New Testament with Yeshua. He goes up to this mountain, and he is up there with Peter and John and James, I believe, the three.
Yes.
Okay, what do you remember?
They saw that his face was glowing. He talked to them. I don't remember all the details behind it.
He was bleeding.
Right. Okay, so yes, he's up there.
No, glowing.
That's right. He's up there. They say he's like the light. That he shines like the light.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I know which one you're talking about now. Sorry. I was thinking about
the past. Right. And his garment shined like the sun and all of that. So what my thought was that what I was saying in reference to John, in reference to the Adam and Eve, in the beginning, they had this same light. Now, it says here in Matthew chapter 17, And after 6 days, Yeshua taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment were as white as the light. Okay? So there we go again. We have what I was trying to say before, that's what they, you know, that's where Adam and Eve was. So we see Yeshua doing or being at a certain time, you know, revealing himself into this same condition. So what I'm saying is real, and the Bible talks about healing. When the Bible talks about that Yeshua would go around and he would touch people and they would be healed, and he would make clay, they would be healed. He would do different things. He would tell them to get the water, they'd be healed. And there was one woman who touched the hem of his garment. Y'all remember that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember. And she was made healed. She was healed, woman with issue of blood. Right.
Yeah, that's right. Now, issue of blood stopped immediately. So this understanding of energy and healing is biblical, number one, is also not just biblical, but is also scientific because we do have an aura. We do have energy. All of these different things we do have. Now, how do they operate and how does all that work? That's what we're trying to get into. And why does it work? Yes, that's the whole point. So when you have energy, when Yeshua was able to, so if you have any type of disease, okay, or what we might call chronic disease, this chronic disease is due to one thing, your body not having enough voltage to be able to fight off any disease. Did y'all know that?
Well,
chronic disease is any time. Chronic disease of any kind occurs when you lose the ability to create new cells that work. And the only way you can create new cells that work is if you have enough voltage to create it. So they have a machine out. You can go, and it's called a bimodulator, and you can test your organs and check different things to see what your voltage is. If your voltage is low, usually that means your system is acid, and that means that you most likely have or will have, most likely you have, because not will have, you have a chronic disease. A chronic disease is the inability of your cells to reproduce themselves, and they can't reproduce and sustain life if they don't have a battery charger. And the battery charger is your voltage. It recharges your cells. Now, most people don't know, but that every cell in the body has to have voltage to work. It runs approximately off of a minus 20 to minus 25 millivolts that's in the water or that's in the fluid, and that says that it can give up 20 electrons or 20 millivolts to a cell or to any part of your body. When it's, because it's negative, it can give that up. When it's positive, it means it's taking that from your body. But our cells and our body are constantly wearing out. So you get new cells in your parts of your eye every 2 days, 2 to 3 days. The lining of your intestines are replaced every 3 days. Your skin is replaced every 6 weeks. Your liver every 8 weeks. Your nervous system every 8 months, and so forth. So you are constantly dying. Your cells are dying every moment by moment, every second in your life. And so if you have enough voltage, then you have enough energy. That means then they will create new cells. Okay? And what does it mean that they'll create new cells? Yes, they start recreating new cells such that, as I mentioned, some are 2 days, 3 days, like the intestines is 3 days, like the skin is 6 days, liver is 8 weeks, nervous system 8 months. So you have all of these things that are regenerating. So if they don't regenerate because your voltage is low or because you don't have enough oxygen, then that's what we call disease, because it's an illness that you don't have voltage. So basically your cells are just maintaining until they get to the point that they no longer can exist because they're dying every day. So that's what's happening in our system. And so what we need is the amount of voltage that will rejuvenate cells. And if it doesn't rejuvenate cells, then you are dying. So the text that tells us in Genesis chapter 2, verse number 16 and 17, and Yahweh Elohim commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, did they die literally the nanosecond, the millisecond that they partook or violated the law that Yahweh had given? Yes. So when they were this figure of light, when they disobeyed, then the light disappeared immediately. And when the light disappeared, the energy that they had that was keeping them alive forever, that would keep them alive forever, their cells would never die, they wouldn't have to go through this regeneration. But now, this, and they had enough to keep them forever. It was just that they had enough energy in them to keep everything up and running. When it left them, when that energy force decreased drastically, now they saw that they were no longer clothed in light. Like, if we look at the sun will last for millenniums. Who knows how many thousands and thousands and 10,000 years it'll exist because it has that much energy. So the same thing with us. We were able to exist forever until we got to that point. Once we disobeyed or violated the laws that was keeping us alive, then we lost the light, and then they were able to tell very clearly that they were naked. And they were able to see very clearly that they no longer had that light that they were given in the beginning. It was gone. And because that light was gone, they were able to see now the physical beings, and they realized they were naked. So instantaneously, as it said, when they disobeyed that millisecond, nanosecond, the light left, and they started to die. Okay? What did you mean they started to die? Adam didn't die until 930 years later. That's correct. Well, depending on, as I mentioned again, how much life force you have in you, that until that dies down to nothing, then that's when you die. So he had enough from the beginning, from today, from that day on, to had the most in anybody. So that's why he lived that long. He was able to live that long and be able to, you know, exist. And so every second, every nanosecond, every second in his life, cells were dying. So that's what it meant, that the day ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. Yes, your cells are dying instantaneously every moment by moment, and they have to be regenerated. Now, as they regenerate, then that keeps you alive. And so, as some would say, that was the mercy of Yahweh in his plan to make sure that we had enough energy to be able to live long enough to survive, to be able to say things and to be able to do things and try to make right what went wrong and try to get back in harmony with him and his Lord. So everyone has that as their job. So that's why I asked y'all at one time last week, but hey, what is your purpose here on earth? Is your purpose here on earth is to make money? Your purpose here on earth to do this, do that? What is your purpose? Okay? So this was given to them so that they could understand that we can make our choices of how we will live. Okay? Will we disobey the laws that are laid down that he gave us, or will we keep in harmony with them? What will we do with these laws that are governing the universe, that are governing us? And so every day you're dying, every day we're dying, and so when your body gets to the point that the cell regeneration is very low and it can't no longer regenerate, it's just a matter of time that that's where cancer fits in and everything else. So there's another scripture that the Bible talks about, that I am the vine, ye are the branches, he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Now, when you look at that, what does that really mean? Okay, when you look at trees, they have leaves on them, and the leaves exist basically for a long time. And the leaves, as long as the leaves are connected to the, what do we want to call it? As long as the leaves are connected to the tree, to the branches, to the vine, and it's being supplied, this energy, this force again, as long as it's supplying that, it keeps surviving. It just keeps, you know, green, and it keeps moving along and so forth until finally it gets to a point that when it falls off, then it starts to decay. Fungi, fungus starts to take over, and its job is now to eat the leaf until it turns into dirt, just as we are. So the same thing happens with us, that when we, when our voltage level drops and it becomes in reversal of the negative 20 millivolts, it goes to a zero, and then it goes to the other side. Now it's absorbing and grabbing energy electrons from your system. Then what happens is that it awakens these fungi that's in our body, this fungus. And this fungus does the same job that it does with the leaves. Okay, you no longer have enough energy, so, hey, I'm coming to take you out. I mean, I'm putting you to sleep. And so that's what it does. It goes through, and it kills the cells and the dead cells that are there. It eats them up until finally you don't have any more energy or any more life, and these are the parts that you call disease, cancer, and all these other things. Boom, and then it all goes out. Now, how does that relate to oxygen? Okay? When we have voltage and oxygen, they're proportional to each other. As the voltage goes up in your body, the oxygen goes up in your body. As the oxygen goes up in your body, the voltage goes up in your body. So if you look at the, if you look at people that have cancer or a different type of ailment, then or even AIDS, all different diseases, basically all diseases, if you, that many people, when they take them to these retreats, these sanitariums, they oxygenize their system. They shoot them up with all of this oxygen. So they'll use ozone. They'll shoot it up in your arm. They'll shoot it up the IV. They'll give you hydrogen peroxide. They'll give you all of these different things trying to get oxygen in your system. The most easiest way and the most uncomplicated way is just going on a raw food diet. But on a raw food diet, nothing is cooked, so you have all this oxygen and this energy and this voltage in this food that it goes into your system, and it just starts adding this oxygen and boosting up your voltage. So once it starts boosting up your voltage and the oxygen level, then automatically the these things that were alive, they just start to disappear. They go back into hibernation. They don't disappear. They go into hibernation. Okay? Because they're now connected back to the vine, back to the branches, back to the root. Okay? So now that you have all this voltage in there, I remember Dr. Day, she said that she had breast cancer, and she did the experiment. and she would go on a raw food diet, and then she would stay on there for some length of time. She would go back to the doctor, her doctor, and the doctor said, your cancer is gone. Then she'd go back to cook food, and then next she'd come back, and they said, the cancer is back. And she would do that back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, to prove a point that oxygen and a raw food diet is what was killing off or building up the oxygen in your system. And now, but they didn't know about voltage, but it was building up the voltage in your system. And so basically what had happened was that all of those fungi, they went under. They wasn't destroyed. It just went into hibernation, waiting for the case for you to get no more oxygen in your system, not have enough voltage, and then they come back out to take you out. That's their job. Their job is to take, you know, everything that's dead out there. Like an example would be when there's a deer out on the road or something, or somebody runs over the road, and then, you know, vultures come and they eat them up. The same thing when things die in the sea. We have the lobsters and the crabs and the shrimp. They eat them up. So that they're sort of our sanitation department to make sure that, you know, that disease and all this other stuff isn't, you know, floating all around. Okay? And so basically that's what these little fungi do. That's what they do. They go through and they just eat up, you know, whatever is not, you know, is not worthy to be kept alive. And so when the leaf falls, it says, okay, I'm no longer connected to it. I can no longer do anything. I can no longer produce fruit. I can do nothing. And so it says, okay, now it's time for me to eat you and bring you back to the dust of the ground or back into the dirt so that now you can be part of the cycle. And you can now feed these minerals from that you have into the ground, and the ground can continue on. So Yahweh has told us, or we were told, that from dust thou art, to dust shalt thou return. And that's basically what happens to us. The fungi eats us until finally we die. And when you're buried, then you turn back to dirt again, dust again. So, yes, when he said that in a day, the nanosecond, the millisecond that you eat thereof, you shall surely die, that literally happened, and is happening to us for the rest of our lives. So the question is, how do we keep this voltage level up? It's very simple. Just like we said with the getting oxygen, raw food, energy, the Bible says that the herbs are for the healing of the nation. So literally, you can take the herbs, different herbs. I'm learning about it more and more, and I'm making up little different things that are the different herbs that Dr. Sabi had recommended and putting them together. And now you're able to eat those things and actually be able to build up the voltage in your system so that you can think clearer, that you can be more, according to Sabi, he says that it makes you more loving, makes you more compassionate. It makes you understand things that you didn't understand before. Obviously, it gives you a clearer mind so that you can see, understand, perceive, and do things. Obviously, you're healthier because you have all of this oxygen in your system. And so what the body needs is the voltage is to maintain at a minus 20 millivolts. That means it can give up electrons to any of your organs and into your cells to build them up. And when it goes to, if you have to regenerate new cells, then it moves from a negative 20 and 25 millivolts to 50 millivolts. It doubles. So you need your body to be at 50 millivolts, and you have to have proportional amount of oxygen in your system. This is also, you can use pH, potential hydrogen. That's the same thing. That's what the pH, and it's alkaline blood level. And so when you have this, then the body is regenerating new cells. Now, if you have this ease, that means that your voltage is way down to on the other side of polarity. So now it might be a plus 15 or plus 20. It's pulling the electrons from your cells. It's pulling the electrons from your organs, and so they drop. And when that happens, you need now 70 millivolts of energy to actually rebuild and, you know, refix everything. So there's three different levels, 20 to 25, that's just maintenance, regular maintenance, You need 50 so that it can regenerate, 50 minus 50 millivolts, and then you need a minus 70 millivolts. That's that whatever you're eating, your food, your alkalinity of your system is now putting all of this oxygen back in, putting all of this energy back in, putting up your voltage, such that now it's dealing with the little bugs that were running around and that was eating everything. So it puts them back to sleep, your fungi, puts that back to sleep, and now you're able to operate. And so the key is the fruit and the vegetables. So when you look at most people in the world, Aborigines and people that doesn't have a Western society that hasn't come in and corrupted them, where they practice sorcery on us, they are mostly vegetarian. They eat mostly vegetarian meals simply due that they're the easiest to live off of. When you look at an ape, when you look at gorillas and all of them, they are vegetarian. They live to 80, 90, 100 years old. Elephants, these huge animals, okay? The same thing with hippopotamus, giraffes, and all of these different things. They don't need a hospital. They're not coming down with disease because they're not eating this, what we call potions. And these potions are pharmakia, is sorcery, is what the Bible calls sorcery. It says it deceiveth the whole world by her sorceries. Revelation 18, verse 23, by the merchants of the earth, by the princes of the earth, by the all of these different people that are the McDonald's of the earth and all the rest of these places that are the fast food joints, or that these places that are the milk industry. They said fresh milk, raw milk is good for you, but when they pasteurize it and homogenize it, then it's no longer good for you. It's a plastic, and it seals and blocks your cells from getting the oxygen and the voltage that it needs. Now, every time you move your muscles are your battery charger. So your muscles actually send electricity and voltage and charges all of your cells. That's what it does. So if you don't exercise, you don't get much voltage in your system. So you want to keep exercise. Exercising adds the voltage to your system. It's like your battery recharger, okay? It's just like if you go out and you have a car and you have a battery and you, as long as it's charging, as long as you're driving the car, you can have on your lights at night, you can have your radio, your CD, you can have your phone plugged in, you can have a million things running, okay? And it's recharging because it's turning, okay? And as it turns the alternator, and the alternator makes an amount of energy that actually goes there, okay? And so that's what charges your battery, keeps your battery. Now, if you go to sleep, okay, and you forget to turn off your light and your music and all of that stuff, and you go to bed and you come out the next morning, you're going to try to start your car, and your car isn't going to start because you just drained all the cells out of it, all of the battery cells, and so the battery isn't operating anymore. And so that's the same way it is with us. If we don't have, but at the same time, it was operating. As long as you had the lights on and so forth, when you wasn't driving it, it had the lights on, the music, all that was playing. But it was draining the batteries until it got to a point that there was no more cells and no more energy in the battery, and then it shut off. So when you came out the next morning, there is nothing that it'll turn over. So our muscles are like that, are like this generator. Okay, recharger. It's recharging our cells. And so as long as we're out there exercising and doing all of that in the sunlight and the fresh air and getting that oxygen in, that's where oxygen and voltage level go together, you are building up and you're recharging everything. So, yes, when he said that in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die, there's many applications. The battery, as we mentioned, the leaf as it falls from the ground, and it's the cells that are generated in our body from day to day. Any questions? And comments?
No, no questions. information. It really makes sense. So.
Any comments?
Well, that was my comment.
It makes sense. Good stuff.
I mean, we just gotta keep. So that story is interesting about the cancer. Just kept coming back and forth. I wonder what the doctor said. Did they say anything? Like, what are you taking? What kind of witchcraft are you practicing? I don't know. Did she give you that?
Dr. Day was a doctor. She's a medical doctor. He was practicing on herself just to prove the point. Then she wrote a book on it.
Yeah, that's just eye-opening indeed.
Yep, very true.
Yep, so we can do it. So that's what our goal is now, to understand this, be able to practice it, be able to operate with people, work with people, and work them healing, and being able to survive through all of this. So I sent you guys another update today. This one was a little different. This one is going to deal with specifically what some of the stuff I was talking about today. But it's even going to talk about how the farmers seep through Rockefeller and the Carnegies back in the 1900s had squashed, 18 to 1900 had squashed all anybody that had to do anything with energy and the spirit and the cells and all of that thing. And natural paths, they had 13 natural institutions. They shut them all down, and they arrested people who practiced that. Even at the time of Nixon's time, when he went to China, he came back, and he told NIH, National Institute of Health, to now allow acupuncture to become part of the medical establishment. Okay, so that's when they started realizing, okay, energy is true, and so forth. And so when you read through some of that thing, it'll talk about the fat, how you need fat, how you need minerals, how cells are built, the inside of a cell is amino acids, and how you need the stomach to create this amino acid. And then you have fats on the outside of the cell and how you need minerals to be able to supply those particular fats. So, you know, you'll be able to see a lot of that on there. And it walks through and helps you understand how this body works and how we can live as Yeshua. And so our goal is to get back to the lifestyle and living within the laws that Yahweh has given us so then we can think clearer and do greater things. I mean, there's lots of things that we don't even know what to do. He says, you know, that greater things shall we be able to do than he did. Now, being able to be on Mount Transfiguration, I don't know how much more we could do, but, hey, that's what he says. But that all depends on how much we're connected with him, how much we're living in harmony with him before these things happen. And so we can, you know, we have a limited supply of ideas of what we can do here on the planet. And so as we grow and as we get older, hopefully we'll be able to expand that and be able to see what things he has called us to do at this time of crisis on the earth. So we pray that y'all understand and be able to walk into, get a clearer insight of what's going on. And I think I'm going to make this like the introduction to the book and then from there build on energy. What do y'all think about that? Introduction or preface or chapter one?
Yeah, I kind of like that as a... Well, I don't know. Some people in books, they actually skip that portion. I'm not saying all, but some people don't even read the preface. but I mean, yeah, I think that would still be a good idea to put it there.
Well, should it be an introduction? Because you need, or chapter one, because you need this to move forward when I talk about energy. If you don't understand this, then you know, they'll be saying that the guy don't know what he's talking about. There's no energy in the body.
Yeah, that's why I was a little
chapter one, in my opinion.
Okay.
If you're gonna, if one information that nobody skips, then you make a chapter one. But if it's going to be like information, just random information that actually helps them understand it, but it's not necessary, then you can make it a preface or introduction. So everything
yeah, because you guys don't even know what an introduction to preface is supposed to be. It's supposed to be the thing to help you build something of what the book is about and how do you
think.
But people, like you said, people don't read it, but that's what it's there.
Well, I read. I don't read. I don't necessarily read the preface, but I'll read the introduction. Sometimes, you know, and then if it's depending on what book it is, sometimes I won't even read all the chapters. I'll skip to exactly what I want to know about. Let's call it that, you know. Or we start reading chapter one. But usually, I'm going to read the whole book, then I'll read it from the very beginning. I'll say I'm looking for certain information.
All the books that I read it like from start to finish, so preface, all that stuff. But I'm just saying most people, my assumption is most people, or not all people would do it. That's why I said that. But I don't skip it. Like you said, it does give you the build up to that. So even after you bought the book and even though you read the back of the book and all this other stuff, you know, then you get to open it up and then you're like, oh, well, this is what will lead into whatever I'm about to start reading. So that's why I like doing that. But not all people do that.
Well, I mean, either way, I'm going to see that. I have a question. So you see sometimes people and their eyes are red. Usually we're like, some people's eyes have more of a reddish tint than a white tint to them. And so what is that? Just like, different kind of stuff, like diet change probably, or different kind of stuff like that?
Yeah, it could be that, or it could be tired.
Yeah.
Their body is still weak, that's one thing, or their eyes could be irritated. Like when you talk about when people have these things over their eyes and they start bringing the laser, cataracts, that's what they call it, cataracts over their eyes and they burn the laser, all it is mucus. So if you took certain foods that and herbs that would adjust, that would remove the mucus from your eyes, then you don't have to have the cataracts removed because then they will be dissolved by the oxygen and the voltage level that you have.
Hmm.
Okay. But most people don't know that, and so you know, what I'm talking about, I'm sure it's hundreds of thousands of dollar industry, so ain't nobody gonna say nothing.
Yeah. So this order can be like, I guess, associated with what kind of stuff they're eating. If correct, you put it in your body, it comes out and reflects. Yeah, I guess you see that in people's eyes. Of course, like you said, people's skin and different kind of stuff, because obviously you can't see their livers and all that other on the inside. But okay.
That's where it will be dealing with your liver. That is correct. And like I said, the thing that I sent you, it'll talk about some of that. And hopefully maybe next week or the following week we'll get into that particular write-up.
Okay.
All right. Well, any other comments or points anyone would like to make?
Yeah.
If not, we'll have someone offer up a word of prayer to close out, and then Yabara cut us off from the recording.
All right. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here today. Thank you for the time that we got a chance to study and learn and expand our minds and be exposed to new things and new ideas. And thank you. Bless us all as we go in our different directions, do all things that we need to do for our own day. Help us to be blessed and also be a blessing. Anyway,